Welcome to the It Came From The Basement podcast, brought to you by tourworthy.com. My name is Jordan, and I interview the bands still grinding it out in bars and basements to talk about the various DIY scenes from around the country and how it affected their lives.
So, we've gone through the band playing.
All right, yeah.
We've gone through the recording process.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because you've lived a lot of life.
Yeah, yeah.
And now here we are. At your silly label with that rat bastard.
Oh my god.
John Cazzarelli, who I have also had on this.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
All right, so proof, people do listen to this.
I listened to it. Yeah, so basically, like I said, I recorded John. I saw him play at a show.
Wait, for the record, I don't actually think that John's a rat bastard. I love him to death.
I think he's a little rat bastard.
No, I recorded him. We played a show together, and I saw him, and I thought he was awesome. You know, it's not hard to understand why.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, if you've seen John Cosplay,
you know, it's everything that we were just talking about. Where it was like, I love like a unique, authentic voice that like has a story about like who is this person, and he was communicating who he was through his music.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like some like boring band overthinking everything they did. Like, you know, like. And, like, you know, like, it was just, like, it spoke.
It wasn't synthetic.
It wasn't at all, you know. Like, it was the opposite of that. And I was, like, I connected with it right away. You know, I was, like, this dude is cool. Like, I like his vibe. I like his music. I like the way that he, like, presents it all in, like, a tight little package.
With his Taylor Ham guitar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think at that point, too, like, he was, like, he just was doing funny shit on Instagram. Like, he always was. Like, he was drinking raw eggs and, like, fucking, like, setting his hair on fire, like, in front of his mom and shit.
Sam Margera
shit. I remember, like, so I saw him at the show, and, like, I saw him play, and I was like, that was awesome. And then I remember, like, then, like, checking him out online, and I was like, this kid's fucking nuts. Like, I was like, this is fucking hilarious. Like, I thought he was hilarious. I remember, like, showing people. I was like, dude, watch this video. And it was, like, him setting his hair, on fire in front of his mom. And he was like, Mom, watch this. And he was, like, setting his hair on fire. And his mom's just like, John, stop it. What are you doing? You know, and it's just like, and I was just like, this dude's fucking hilarious. So then I messaged him, and he put out like a video for that song, Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was like, this is fucking amazing. This is like if like a fucking Italian dude from New Jersey, like wrote Pavement songs. Like,
yeah.
I was like, but like better. Like, this is amazing. So I hit him up, and I was like, hey, you know, I've recorded a lot of bands around here, and like, you know, we played together, and I think he was like, oh, I've actually been listening to the Lake Effect album a little bit, and, like, we just started talking about influences and stuff, and I was like, hey, like, if you'd ever want to work together, like, you know, I do mixing and mastering, too, like, so if it's something, like, you know, like, you know, if like, I basically was just like, I would love to work with you in any,
in whatever
capacity, like, you know, here's the stuff I've done recently and blah, blah, blah. And then I remember he messaged me back, and I was surprised because he seemed like such a like do-it-yourself kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was surprised that he was even like kind of interested. And he was like, well, I'm working on an album now, but I'd be definitely interested in having you like mix and master it. So then he came over to my apartment and like brought the stems with him of like Salt, Pepper, Ketchup, which was like an album he did.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's the one with Picker Green on it?
No, it's before that.
Okay.
It's like the full length before that.
Okay.
So he like self-recorded it all, and he brought the stems to me, and I just kind of like, you know, whatever, we mixed it a little bit and like just kind of like made it like all cohesive. And I think he recorded one song in my apartment, like an acoustic song. And then we just liked working with each other, and was just kind of like, wow, this was fun. Like, this worked, and we like really like, you know, we related to each other on a lot of stuff, and like we became like better friends just as time went on. It was kind of like we clicked right away, though. It was like one of those things where it was kind of like, you know, when you click with people and you're just
it's just like, this person has been waiting to meet me.
Yeah,
I've been waiting to
meet
this person.
And you're just kind of like, yeah, this is great. Like, you know, we were just like, we became fast friends. It wasn't like, it was very natural. And like, and then he kind of was playing with these two dudes at the time. One of the dudes, I think he still does play with, K-Don.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing with those two dudes, and they were called the Squirts. That was like his backup band for a minute. And like, and he brought them in to record that EP that has Walkin' on it, and Pinker Green, and Summer Kid, and one other song. I think I.
Yeah.
So we recorded that, and that was like over one. I remember it was summer. It was hot out. That's all I really get. And there's a song called Summer Kid on it. And then he did like a movie for that. That I was like in, like I had like a little like scene where I'm like telling him not to do drugs or something.
Oh, I gotta go find that.
It's hilarious. It's like Sopranos themed
too. Yeah, kind because of. It's cops yeah. and everything.
It's like Sopranos it like themed. Opens with like a Sopranos intro and it's like
Jesus fucking what's Christ.
The plot the plot is yeah the plot is like ridiculous. It's like he has elements of like the Matrix in there where he can like take one pill and he becomes a rock star and the other pill he's like I don't know.
He becomes
like
a Taylor Hammond. Some and shit. Sandwich.
Like I don't know. And then like but he like it was creative. I thought it was so fucking cool the way that he combined like music like and made it into this like little movie. Like it was yeah. like it, and he's like it was like he was scoring a movie with the EP and I was just like this kid is like on like just like
next level
creatively
shit.
Just on some kind of next level shit. And I just was like, so impressed by everything he was doing. And we just, again, we just kind of were like, we became friends, like really good friends. And he was like, really, you know, he was really supportive of Lake Effect and like really cool. Like just with everything we would release and all that he was come to a lot of our shows and like, we would play a lot of shows with him. And he would ask us to play his shows, which were always like really good events. And it was just refreshing to me to find somebody else in North Jersey finally, like after all these years, somebody else in North Jersey that like wanted to like really do like stuff to like boost up the scene, you know, and like and somebody who claimed New Jersey in a way that wasn't
unapologetically
and wasn't this like hipster asshole way of being like, we need to play in Brooklyn. You know, like there's so
he has been playing in Brooklyn.
I know. But like there's always been so much of that where we live where it's like you're not legitimate until you like play certain venues and
you got to play a city. It's just like, no, why can't we like have our own
build
shit
something
here?
Here? Exactly. And it's like
because we've had our own shit.
Exactly.
Here.
And it used to be and it's like and I think that comes from a lot of people who like maybe like, you know, don't remember how fucking awesome it used to be like
the Bloomfield Cafe
before that even like with the just VFW halls just with shows every weekend like mm-hmm. packed shows. It's like I talk to Ken who's in Lake Effect about this all the time because like we're the same age and we were kind of like, we didn't know each other back then but we were kind of into a lot of the same music so we remember all the same bands. And like we remember all the same
shows.
Yeah,
we have like a show that
yeah, we had
like,
shows.
Oh, I was there.
Definitely. We had shows that we like would talk. I can't recall like which ones off the top of my head, but like there were shows where we would talk. I would, you know, if I mentioned a show and he'd be like, I was there. And I was like, yeah, so was I. Like,
that's
we
my
didn't
favorite.
We didn't meet until we were like in our late 20s, you know? Yeah, or mid to late 20s. So it was kind of like, it's kind of funny that like we knew each other, you know, like, or we didn't
in
know
passing.
Each other, but we knew each other. Like we were in a lot of the same scenarios.
You were in the same room
same
without
parties
knowing
too,
each other.
Like,
yeah.
Shit, you know, like, so it's like, yeah, but it's just kind of like, so that,
not
yeah.
knowing what the future held.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So kind of meeting Kaz was just refreshing to me. It was like, just like meeting somebody else who like was just really excited about just creating, you know, and didn't have like these like ridiculous, like, expectations for what it should be other than just wanting to make the coolest thing you could possibly make, you know, like, and I just really, I was drawn to that because I really, especially at the point that like the time point in time that I met him, I was really kind of like burnt out on the idea of, you know, music from any other point of view. Like,
yeah.
Like I was burnt out on business moves and marketing schemes and fucking
labels,
promoting and labels and all that shit. I was just like,
I want to create.
Yeah. I was just like, all the other shit is noise. It's irrelevant. Like, you know, like I just want to make stuff that I love and that I'm proud of, you know? And like, it was just like, kind of like the perfect time to like meet somebody else who was really like that. And he's a little younger, so he kind of knew people that we didn't know and we kind of knew people he didn't know. So it was kind of like over time we kept talking about maybe like teaming up to like do some kind of like either like a label or some kind of just project together, you know, where it was like we could kind of like create a home for everything that we were working on together, because I started working on his records like more closely, I guess, kind of like where it was like Deep Fried, that record, where it's like him and I just
that's kinda, where I like came in.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so that record was like him and I just made that like in my apartment. Like with just like, you know, like with like loop based drums and like programmed stuff and like, and it was just kind of like, I think that was like the point in time where it was just like, oh wow, like we work really well together, you know? It was like, it was more than just like him like kind of like hiring me to like record his like EP or like mix something for him. It was like, oh wow, this feels collaborative in a cool way.
You know? Is like an artist and producer relationship,
right? Exactly. Where, like, yeah.
He comes in with the ideas and you help him polish them.
Yeah, kind of like, and just kind of like bouncing ideas off each other and kind of helping each other like get it to a place where like we're both like really into it or really happy. And like we, and again, so much of it was like dependent on that like friendship, you know, where it was like less like a lot of those sessions we would just end up like, you know, like taking a lunch break for like an hour or two and just like shooting the shit, you know, and like, and that would make the music better somehow, because it would be like we would talk about something and we would like just like, and then we'd be like, let's try that, like, you know, like, or like you'd laugh about something and then like suddenly you're embracing part of what you were laughing about into the song, you know, like you're putting something that you were laughing about or something you were talking about inspires you to try something in the music, you know, like, so I don't know, it was just a really good thing. And then kind of one thing led to another and we were like, let's work together on like a project where like we can kind of lump all of our stuff into one home, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because, and I know he feels the same way, and I kind of remember him sort of saying this when you interviewed him, was that it's like, like calling it a record label is like kind of like not even like what it really, like it's not even really what it is, you know? So at the end of the day, it's just a home for us to release content. But it's kind of like the only way it sort of made sense, like the only way that we thought it would make sense to people is if we kind of called it a label. But like,
and in a way, honestly, like knowing the both of you and how like tongue in cheek you are with a lot of what you do.
Yeah.
I feel like calling it records.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no, this is not a record label.
Yeah.
It's like completely on brand.
I know. It kind of is. It's kind of funny. We've talked about it before. Like, we're like, we should just call it like Pizza Bagel or Pizza Bagel Productions.
And no,
like,
I think Pizza Bagel Records is perfect. And then like, oh, your label. Oh, sorry. No, it's not a label.
Yeah.
But it's Pizza Bagel Records. Yeah, we know what we called it. It's not a label.
Yeah, but we don't actually sign any bands. Yeah.
We don't sign anyone. We just put out songs about food.
Yeah.
We crowdsource food songs.
Basically.
We are picking up where VeggieTales left off.
Basically. I just look at it like it's just like we want to crowdsource everything. Where it's like, instead of signing bands, I feel like it's more beneficial to people. That, like, as opposed to like, I don't want to say locking people into these deals, but like, as opposed to like promising bands like this thing where there's all this pressure and it's like, we're going to sign you and like, we're going to front you this X amount of merch or X amount of fucking
X amount of dollars and then you have X amount of money to pay
like
us
that
back.
That model is just such dog shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it was never made for the artist.
It was never made for the artist. So it's like, so to me, yeah, as silly as it is to be like, hey, write a song about food, like, and then we'll put it out on Bandcamp and like donate the money to like a, like, you know, a charity. To me, that is doing way more for like the music community than fucking signing a band and being like, we're going to be your personal bank. Like, you owe us money, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what it fucking is. And I think a lot of people don't understand that that's what labels historically are. They're just banks that loan money, basically, like, with, like, cool branding.
Yeah.
You know, like...
and a young, hip A&R.
That's what I mean. And somebody to be like, yeah, this is what's cool right now, you know? And it's like... And like somebody who can spot what's cool or what might be able to sell, you know, it's a business, man. Like, and I think a lot of people forget that shit. Like,
and you want to get away from that.
And exactly. So that's why I was like, we were like, we made a record label and then we were like, wait, but we don't want to really be in the record business in that way. Like, so it's like, yeah, I think it confuses people, but it's kind of like, we're just going to continue kind of operating like as a content farm, you know, for lack of a better term. And whether or not like, you know, maybe we'll put out a band's record if, like, if it's a band we love or if it's somebody, you know, like, that we really feel, like, you know, confident in or, like, you know, and like, it, but it's, like, it's just, like, I don't know, that model that has existed, first of all, it's outdated because fucking
streaming just completely leveled like, the entire industry.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's the first strike against it, but then you could just make a million other strikes against it, like you said earlier, like that, or like just before, like that it's never favored the artist because it hasn't, you know? And it's like, and it's like, John and I aren't fucking like in the music business to be in the music business. we're in music because we love music, you know?
And it helps, like, inspire you to create
exactly.
more.
Exactly. I think it's just cool to have it under, like, under an umbrella.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a collective.
Right. Really, it could be, like, just called that, you know? As opposed to being a record label, because it's, like, really, like, it's technically not a record label, you know, like it is more.
Have you printed records at all yet?
No, but I want to actually. Okay. The new Lake Effect, I'm considering. I mean, John's pressed, you know, his stuff.
But he went and did that on his own.
But like but he still put it like the logo on there, you know, like, so it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's just like getting into the music business. And I'm stressing business, like getting into that side of things in 2022 just feels like fucking weirder than ever. And it's always been a weird fucking business, but
but now it's just kind of like, have you been ignoring everything that's happened in the last 10 years?
Exactly. And it's like, how are you expecting to monetize yourself, like, in any kind of meaningful way? And it's just like, and to have any kind of expectation, like, you know, and I'm not hating on anyone who comes up with like a marketing plan or a business plan. It's like, I get it. Like, you want to take it seriously.
That's just not your jam.
Exactly. Yeah. At this point, it's not really, you know.
Because the thing is, there's a lot of people who are like, they like that part about it.
Yeah.
They like
finding, it's like what gets them going, you know.
They like it's
playing
just like,
that game, you know.
Exactly. And to an extent, like, I enjoyed that game, but never to like get ahead.
Right.
I just liked being a part of, like, scenes.
Same. And I like packaging it in a way where it's, like, very nice and concise. So it's, like, so there's part of me that likes planning the release.
Yeah.
But, like, not, like, blasting emails to, like,
press. No, not the PR.
Not the PR shit. Like,
I did a PR internship for a while.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That must have just been all emails.
It was all emails. I sent out maybe, like, 30 a day, heard back from maybe 2 a week.
Yeah, that's what you feel like, you know. It's discouraging when you're emailing people and getting nothing back.
And, like, in addition to that,
I always appreciate a reply at the very least.
Oh, of course. And, actually, like, going more on that, I came into that through radio, because I was the head music director on 90.3.
Yeah, I remember that's when I first heard about you, because John told me about you. Like,
yeah.
Did he do an interview with you down there?
He might have came on the show. I forget. I know we did this, but I don't know if he ever came
on
the show.
Did you jam with him or fill in for him?
I played drums for him.
Okay.
I booked him at my dorm.
That's what
Demarest Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, he's just like, yeah, I want to play, but I don't have a drummer.
You lived at Demarest?
I did.
I had a friend who lived at Demarest.
I feel like everyone has a friend who lived in Demarest, and they all have very strong opinions about it.
Yeah. That was like the art dorm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the music liaison, which basically means I was in charge of the drum kit.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But then I did like stuff at the Core, which is actually the first time I ever heard about you.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mint 400 was one of the labels that would be like sending us stuff.
Okay, all right.
And I remember Don't Be a Grouch.
Oh, shit.
That was one of the records that we got.
And
and I was the local music director.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, all right, let's get this one in a rotation.
Cool, man. Well, thank you.
Of course. No, that
I didn't know that. That's...
That's how I got into, like, neat. Before I was head music director, I was local. Because was my favorite thing, was, like, going to shows, meeting bands, listen, like, please tell me you have
a got the personality music. For it.
I want to get it over on the air.
That's so cool.
Because I was just, like, radio was just like, all right, I have a playlist, and now everyone listening to the station has to listen to it for the next hour. And then I was like, all right, how do I take this a step further? And I was just like, let me bring people on.
Yeah.
And they could talk about why, and, like, I was like, all right, I got 2 hours now.
Yeah.
So I could play their music. And they can pick music that they're just like, this music means a lot to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to talk on the air 15 minutes, every 15 minutes anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, let's talk about why you pick these songs.
Yeah, right. What do they mean to you? Why'd you pick them? Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like, I got like Joe Scala from Choke Artist.
Love Joe.
I got, I don't know if you ever listen to Fence.
John has told me. Yeah. I don't know if I've listened to them, though.
Literally, I have been waiting for them to
I've seen you post stuff about them, too.
Because I am annoyingly in love with that band.
I thought you were in that band.
I was in that band for one night only.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've done like a lot of stints with bands that like I love. It's just like, oh, we're missing someone. I was like, I will fill in for you. I will play that part.
That's cool, yeah.
Because it's just like, I love your music already. I want to like get a little taste of
playing. Yeah, I like that.
But it was just like, it was a cool experience, but like that was how, and like I knew Mint 400 because one of my friends who is like from back up Bergen County is in Blue Vervain.
Yeah, I've heard of that band. Yeah, they were on Mint 400, right?
Who is ironically named John Kahn.
John Kahn, yeah.
And so I was just like, all right, we have our
Facebook
John,
friends with him.
We have our mutual Johns.
So you went to high school with him?
So he went to Fort Lee.
Oh, okay.
And is a couple years older than me.
Okay.
So I know him because a kid that I used to play in bands with, Brian Analos.
Okay.
Who is in Phoebe to the Forest, which is their band now.
I feel like I've heard that name too.
They've been, so Phoebe to the Forest, I'm getting into my own lore now.
Nah, I like your lore.
Was like,
so we've talked too much about my lore.
now the cast gets to know, the listeners get to a little more about growing up in Cliffside Park.
Yeah.
But my senior year in high school, I was in two bands.
Yeah.
There was like my band, The More You Ignore Me.
Yeah.
And then there was the band that I kind of just played bass for.
Yeah.
Bass and trumpet. It was like, they were both kind of emo bands.
Yeah.
But The More You Ignore Me was more punky.
Okay.
And then there was The Lonely Souls Extravaganza.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like long band names.
Picked by my frequent collaborator who I'm still in a band with to this day.
Oh, cool.
And for that band, it was more like twinkly, more Midwest.
Yeah.
More math rocky.
Okay.
And for that, I played bass and a little bit of trumpet.
Oh, you play trumpet?
Very sparsely, yeah.
Okay.
I did marching band for 6 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
But when I went away to college, I was the bass player in both bands.
Okay.
So they were like, and they already shared members.
Okay.
So they were just kind of like, let's find a bass player and have three guitars and do a band.
Yeah.
And so that's the band that exists now. But Brian grew up, Brian was 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
4 years ahead of him was our friend James.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of like everyone had this person who helped grandfather them in
to the
Cliffside Park.
Like music.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so James and John played together in a band called Morningside Lane.
That I've heard of too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how I know John, which connects me to Mint 400, why I got the Mouch record.
Oh my God. That's so nuts, dude.
Dude, that's my favorite part about the scene is like
there's always like a connection.
I get my pegboard. I have like pictures of people.
Yeah.
And I feel like Charlie Day in the Pepe Sylvia episode.
You can all like, you can connect it all. Like,
even for scenes that I like wasn't a part of.
Yeah, and you can go back and like, you know, it's like, oh, that person was in this band with that. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, this band played in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And like while on that tour, this so-and-so lived at that house.
I always loved that shit too. Like, oh, they were in that band. Like,
yep.
And then they started that band, and then that another person in that band was in that band. Like,
the family tree.
I loved that shit. Yeah, I really did. I thought that was so cool when I was young. Like, like how it would be like, ooh, like you would find that out, and it would be just like such a cool thing that like one dude was in one band, and then somebody started another band. Like, I don't know.
And
all
I feel
the connections.
Like it's getting diluted now because everyone's just like, oh, we could make a shit ton of money if we just do a supergroup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. And then also there's the idea where it's like, you know, you hear people talking about how, like, the idea of starting a band is just stupid now.
Like, it's just like, do it.
You hear that.
It is stupid, but do it.
Yeah. You hear that a lot. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense because, like, and, like, it doesn't because, like we were just, like, talking about before how, like, there's no way to monetize it.
If you're
like,
doing it as a career choice.
Yeah, then it's stupid, yeah.
But if you're doing it to do it.
Yeah.
Like, so many bands, it's just like, yeah, they didn't quit their day job, but they're able to see the country with their music. They're able to see the world with their music.
Yeah. So, and is that bad?
No.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
They have something to leave behind. They have like,
Their
music reaches people.
Exactly. All the shit that's important. Like all the shit that like we were talking about. Like,
it's just like, yeah, sure. You're not going to be able to afford a mortgage on your music alone.
No.
But it's like, is that why you're doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if that's why you're doing it, you're not going to make a good record.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But, damn.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
We've covered so much ground, and it's just like,
I feel like I could keep going, but I'm like,
I'm trying to figure out where, though.
No, yeah, I feel you.
Because, like, there's a very similar energy, and it's really funny, because I was just talking about this with a friend of mine who's, like, getting his, like, mental health professional certifications.
Yeah, yeah.
and like a specific friend of mine who I recently reconnected with after a very long time.
Yeah.
And I used to get this like really intense emotion when being around them. And back then I didn't know how to like quantify it how to like explain it.
Right.
And like after reconnecting with him, I was just like, oh, this is a person who like thinks like I do.
Right.
And we can just kind of dogpile on each other and get the ideas going.
Exactly.
And that is the shit that I live for.
Yeah.
That is why I do the podcast.
Yeah, dude.
That is why I, because it's just like that feeling of just like, oh, but this thing. Yeah, oh, but this thing. Oh, but this thing.
Yeah, man.
And it's just like, how long can we keep it going?
It's cool. This is like the first time we've really actually talked, dude.
Which is why I'm so glad we were recording.
Yeah. It's really cool, though, dude. Like, yeah.
Like, we have to hang out when we're not shooting episodes.
I feel like people should get to know each other like this more, though. Not necessarily with the thing, like, but it's just, it was cool, like, to actually just hang out and, like, just, like, have a conversation. You know, I feel like a lot of it's like, yeah, like, let's go, like, you know, like, when two people, like, hang out, like, they're like, oh, like, let's go to a bar, or, like, let's go, like, you know, like,
and it's like, you're fighting against the
music.
Let's go to
a movie, or, like, let's go to a show. Yeah, exactly, you're fighting, and it's like, how often do you, like, meet somebody for, like, I mean, we've met, but, like,
but it was, like, a handshake, hello, how are you?
It was at the show, the Kosh show.
At QXT's.
It was only, like, a couple, like, what was that, 2 months ago, or a month ago? Yeah. You know? And we met online before that,
right? We had, like, had some, like, minor DM exchanges or whatever.
Yeah, right, so.
And I saw, the first time I ever saw Lake Effect was at the,
Oh, so you've seen us?
I saw you at the Art Center in Newark for the Cos Release show when he did the hot dog eating contest. I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there with Selman, my equivalent to Keith.
Right, yeah. Oh, shit. I had no idea you were there.
And we watched someone throw up after eating too many hot dogs.
That was gross, dude.
But we were laughing.
Yeah, Mike Tice. I know who threw up. I remember. Sorry, Mike. You looked like you were having a bad night, buddy.
But I'm still dreaming about the fried eggplant that John made that night.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I'm just like, come on, man.
It's
like,
good stuff.
I was like, where was the food at the last album release?
You fucking rat bastard.
You fucking rat. Fuck. I came here for the food and all I got was a record?
So funny, dude.
But you know what? Before we trek on into the third hour, is there anything that you have coming down the pipeline that you want people to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, so we have a lot of songs coming out. So basically, we recorded 11 songs here at my studio, and we recorded with the very talented Doug Gallo, and it's coming out probably in the spring, like, as a full record, but we're going to kind of just keep dropping singles because it's easier to get people's attention that way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I look at it kind of like, it's just easier to, like, keep the attention span of the everyday person in 2022, 23, it's going to be, you know, like, with just, like, 2 or 3 minutes of music as opposed to trying to get them to commit to a full record, you know. And we'll put the full record out, but I want to make sure that that, you know, as many songs as possible can get, like, their individual
attention.
Listen. Yeah, attention, you know. And it's like, because that was one thing that bummed me out about the last record was that, like, there were some of my favorite songs on that one that actually, like, because they weren't released as singles, they're still, like, just, like, teetering on, like, 200 streams, you know what I mean? Like, and that's fine, but, like, it's just, like, it's just disappointing from, like, a creative standpoint because you're just like, oh, like, I really loved that song. I wish more people heard it, you know? So it's like this way, if we could just put out, like, a single, you know, at least we know that, like, 4 or 5 songs are going
to
be, like,
listened to
and absorbed, you know? So
it's a lot easier to ask someone to commit to 3 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Every week.
Yeah.
Than
exactly.
An hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next one's coming out December 9th. And, yeah, and then one just came out like 2 weeks ago called You Stole Fizzy Lifting Drinks. It's taken from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka.
Wonka Factory.
Willy Wonka Oompa Loompa Factory Chocolate, you know. So, yeah, it's a little quote from that, so. But yeah, that one's kind of like,
you lose, sir.
Yeah, exactly, for that scene. It's like 2.5 minute fun one, pretty quick, you know. But yeah, and then there was one other single that we put out before that. So they're coming. We got music coming. Lake Effect, LKFFCT.
Oh my God, and speaking of which, I was like, before on my way to the drives to do all these, I always like to like get myself in the spirit by listening to all the music. Cool. And so like I tried to use my Siri to like search Lake Effect.
Did you had to go LKFFCD
this? But first I said Lake Effect, and there's like a butt rock band, no, like Breaking Benjamin, called Lake Effect.
No,
and I'm this is not
Siri. This is not the band.
My God. And then in addition to that, I was bugging out because like I was like on Lake Effect, I was like, let me listen to some Washington Square Park first.
Oh.
The only song on...
You want a record?
Yeah, it's an Alkaline Trio.
Is the Alkaline Trio cover. I mean, fuck. I mean, I'll take a record. I like souvenirs.
You like souvenirs, kid? Here you go.
Wow. But wow, yeah, that
so warped.
But Cop by Alkaline Trio, I'm just like, I fucking love that song.
Too warped. Look at the warped one.
I hope as long as I'm not taking your last copy or something.
No, you're not taking my last copy. This one warped too. Probably less warped.
No, because like going back to like the radio show when I had Fence on, they had 7 inches of their first single, and like, those are two of my favorite songs ever written, like, in general. And when they came on my radio show, they were just like, yeah, it's our last one, but we want you to have it. And I'm just, I still have it. Like, I love that I own it. I'm very grateful that they gave it to me, but there's still a little part of me that feels guilty.
Well, here, you take this one.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Are we still recording?
Huh?
We're still recording.
We're still tracking. That's why I was throwing in that little bit, but you know what? I can tune us out. Did you have anything else that you wanted to plug?
Domestic Bliss recording. Come make a record with me. It'll be fun.
Come make a record with Max. But anyways, thank you for listening to the longest episode in the canon so far.
No way.
Clocking in at 2 hours and 10 minutes.
No way, dude.
But this has been It Came From the Basement. I'm Jordan. Max, thank you again for taking the time to hang out.
It was my pleasure. Seriously, I enjoyed it very much.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tourworthy.com, It Came From the Basement. Jordan, Domestic Bliss, Do It All, Lake Effect, Schmutzedels.
Yeah.
All right, thank bye. You.